The week of prayer for Christian unity, which concluded with Vespers presided over by Pope Benedict XVI in the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls last Sunday, is an annual event aimed at reminding every believer of his or her obligation to help bring about healing and reconciliation among the divided Christian churches. This year, the theme for the week of prayer was taken from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, that they may be one in your hand. And at his Angelus on the first day of that week, the Pope spoke of the Christians' responsibility to pray and work for unity in faith so that we can bring a more effective witness to our world.
As we celebrate the week of prayer for Christian unity, let us continue to ask the Lord that all who invoke his name may be one, so that the world may believe.
The Week of Prayer for Christian Unity is celebrated in mid-January each year by churches in countries all over the Northern Hemisphere, and later in the year between Ascension and Pentecost in the Southern Hemisphere. Over the centuries since this initiative first took shape, and more especially in recent decades, Protestant and Catholic parishes and pastors have come up with many different ways of sharing their experiences of faith and finding out more about each other's liturgies and traditions. Well, last week here in Rome, I caught up with a Catholic priest, an Anglican vicar, and a Methodist minister who had come together with members of their own churches in central London to make a pilgrimage here in the footsteps of St. Paul, in this year marking the 2000th anniversary of the birth of the Apostle of the Gentiles.
My name's Catherine Rumans. I'm the rector of St. Giles Cripplegate, which is a church in the City of London, in the Barbican, under the shadow of St. Paul's Cathedral.
The Anglican Church.
The Anglican Church.
My name is Jennifer Potter, and I'm a Methodist minister, and I'm at Wesley's Chapel, which is just outside the city, not far from Old Street Station, for those who know London well. And I have been there for about 6 years.
I'm Peter Newby. I'm parish priest of St. Joseph's, Bunhill Row, which is a small parish just to the north of the city.
And you're here together for an ecumenical pilgrimage to Rome, very significantly in this week of prayer for Christian unity. How did the idea come about, first of all?
We all already met as a group on a regular basis, and this was the 2000th anniversary of the birth of St. Paul, and I felt I might suggest this as a proposal to the others, and I'm remarkable that 40 of us have signed up to come.
So it's above all a Pauline pilgrimage. You're going to the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls.
Its orientation is towards St. Paul, yes. It was the reason to come this particular time. And we are going to the Basilica on Sunday evening.
Perhaps it might be interesting for people to know that we have a very close relationship at home in London, and together, the three of us, with our local Lutherans, and they have just consecrated their first woman bishop of the Lutheran Church in Great Britain. We were there for that on Saturday.
So the pilgrimage really is a visible sign, perhaps, of the way that the churches work together very successfully over in London.
Certainly in our part of London, that is very true, yes. We visit each other's churches, we do whatever we can in each other's churches. The Methodists, Wesley's Chapel and St. Giles Cripplegate have a covenant relationship. So we are able to not only participate in services but actually preside at one another's table.
Whereas here, of course, in Rome, when you're visiting the Catholic churches, you're not able, of course, to share the communion, share in the Eucharist. It's a sign, in a way, of the divisions that still exist, isn't it?
But that's why it's so important to be positive about what we are able to do together. And we're able to do it in a climate and a place of lifestyle choice. And also in terms of the fact that this is not a one-off event, it is actually substantiated by what we will do together in the future. And as we know, you have a formal agenda in any pilgrimage or group of people coming together, but it is also the informal friendships and the connections and the conversations that take place. So we are here together as those of a Protestant tradition to share in the experience of Roman Catholicism. We visited St. Peter's yesterday, and there is that exclusion, and we can spend a lot of time feeling victimized or marginalized or expressing our pain. But I think what is important is, for example, as Jennifer said, the Anglican Church and the Methodist Church, where we are in covenant. And so on Sunday, it will be Jennifer's Methodist colleague, Leslie Griffiths, who will preside and preach at St. Giles Cripplegate for the Church of England congregation.
So do you think this kind of experience, this kind of dialogue, this kind of lived, shared unity to a certain degree can actually help on the journey towards perhaps full visible unity between all the Christian churches?
Depends what you mean by visible unity, and also the church can be seen and heard to be talking entirely to itself. We spend a lot of time opening our doors and being a place of welcome and acceptance to those who have no background of any Christian denomination or tradition. Therefore, the fact that people come in and we have a point of encounter and journeying, we have one baptism, and it is that you build on. Often what happens in remote places by remote people can just seem unrelated to people's joyful experience of worship Sunday by Sunday.
Father Peter, what about you? Do you feel that this kind of experience can help, if you like, to lessen the divide, to bring people actually closer in our journey towards unity?
I certainly think it can, and I think that we focus on what we can do together. I think we're lucky where we are because we're friendly with each other, and therefore this friendship has worked well when we've done things together, but we've always chosen something that we can actually do together, which on this pilgrimage is evening prayer. So we went to the Methodist church last night, and we'll be going to the Anglicans tonight, and obviously going to St. Paul Without the Walls on Sunday evening. So this is what we can do together, and we can share that, and I think that's one way forward. It's God's will that the church will be one. What we can do here and now is what we can do together. We should try to do together in a joyful spirit.
There are many people who say that at grass levels relations are so good, it's the problem is with the leadership, and it's quite frustrating to many people that the developments and the progress that's been made ecumenically at grassroots perhaps isn't always shared at leadership level. Do you agree with that?
I think that the leaders have a different sort of responsibility, and it's easy for us who don't have to carry that responsibility to point the finger at them. They are the custodians of their own tradition, and of course they have a wide constituency to keep on board, if I can put it in that way. I think even they can find things to do together, and really, really, I don't think we should get too hung up about formal dialogues that go on for years and years and years and have lengthy agendas. We should live our togetherness, as both Catherine and Peter have said, do what we can do together, and just let people come more closely together as time goes on.
If this kind of cooperation is already working, is there really a need for a week of prayer for Christian unity? What else does that bring?
There's always a need for prayer, and were it not for this week, we would not have taken this initiative. And therefore, it is a reminder that it's a reminder to expect more of ourselves, and I think that's good.
What has been the most striking part of this pilgrimage for you, perhaps? Have there been surprises, things that you weren't expecting to happen?
I think I was quite amazed by the first experience that we had yesterday, going to the Vatican Museum, where one saw stories from the Bible sculpted onto stone coffins, and they were such lively stories that we could immediately recognise and relate to, all of us. And then you realise that the shared history is so much more than the divisions. We share much more because we can all recognise these stories. We all know the history that has come, how Christianity has come down. It has gone off in its various ways, but this is a shared experience of these times in history.
So you would encourage as many people as possible at the local level to take part in this kind of initiative?
Yes. Just last Saturday we had a group of Methodists and Anglicans from East Barnet in North London come on a pilgrimage to Wesley's Chapel and then went on to St. Paul's. At each place they had worship from the tradition of the place, and then they have something to talk about, something to share, something to grow into. Next week, on Thursday, in our church, participants from across the denominations from this pilgrimage will take a lunchtime service together in our church, in a sense trying to give the congregation a flavour of what we've experienced here.
And each year in anticipation of Advent and throughout Lent we meet together anyway, so we will leave Rome in anticipation not only of coming together the following week but also of journeying in Lent together. And it will be interesting to see this year how much this experience of being together now will affect our understanding and our journeying together in Lent.
And my thanks there to Father Peter Newby, parish priest of St. Joseph's Catholic Church, Bunhill Row, to Kathleen Rumans, rector of the Anglican Church of St. Giles, Cripplegate, and to Jennifer Potter, Methodist minister at Wesley's Chapel in London, all of them taking part in a pilgrimage here to Rome last week to mark the annual Week of Prayer for Christian Unity.